listening to the Creative Pep Talk podcast. Creative Pep Talk helps you build a thriving creative career. I'm your host, Andy J. Pizza! You can stay up to date with Creative Pep Talk and my creative work by following me on Instagram at Andy J. Pizza. Let's jump in to today's episode. This episode is sponsored by AstroPad. AstroPad is an app that turns your iPad into a graphics tablet for your Mac. It works with any Mac app, so you can use creative tools like Photoshop and Illustrator right on your iPad. Check out astropad.com to learn more. This episode is also sponsored by Squarespace. Squarespace is an all-in-one solution for anyone looking to create beautiful websites. Go to squarespace.com and use promo code PEPTALK to get 10% off. Two quick announcements here. Number one, go get your tickets to the Creative Works Conference in Memphis this October. Go to creativeworks.co. You can go get some tickets for the conference. I'm going to be there. Some past MFBA folks are going to be there. A bunch of my friends are going to be there. I can't wait. I love going there every year, and the tickets usually do sell out, so go get them before they're all gone. Also, I just want to do a big shout out to Creative Circle. We did a live creative chat last week on Twitter, and I answered a bunch of questions, and we had a good old time. It was really great. Go check out creative_circle on Twitter so that you can chime in to the next one next month. All right, guys, here is the episode. I want to suppose that there are basically two different ways going up to your dreams. There's the selfish elevator, and it's strong and fast when it works. And there's the escalator of meaning, and it's slower and sometimes takes a little bit of effort. And here's what I mean. I mean, the selfish elevator is when you build your dreams on ego and glorifying yourself and doing what you want to do all the time and always having fun and making tons of money so that you can live it up, right? That's the selfish elevator. The escalator of meaning is where you have this, some part of your passion is fueled by altruistic motives. Motives where it's about more than just yourself, when it's about making the world a better place. And I think that these are kind of the two options for getting to your dreams. And I think there's a secret. And it's this, that the meaningful escalator isn't just a better option because it's better for the world. It's also a more powerful way and more surefire fuel for achieving what you want to achieve. And if you can tap into it, you're going to tap into a well of energy that is unlike anything other that you can tap into. It is your secret weapon, so to speak. Because when things start getting rough in your personal life, when you start hitting a brick wall and you've tried and tried and tried and you can't get that breakthrough and you want to quit, or even when things hit the fan in culture, in the world, when things get dicey as they have over the past couple years, guess what? When that power goes out and things get rough, in the words of the late great comedian Mitch Hedberg, the escalator just becomes stairs. Now the elevator, that selfish elevator, when things get dicey, you get stuck where you are because you've got no other options. But when things get dicey and you're using the the escalator of meaning, it just becomes stairs. Just requires a little bit of elbow grease and determination, and you're on your way to fulfilling your dreams. And actually, from personal experience, I'll tell you this, it's probably even more hardcore than that. Here's what I mean. There's an episode of Seinfeld where somehow Kramer gets stuck in this situation where he's betting on horses. I don't remember exactly what went down, but in some way he's at this this place where you bet on horses. I don't know what they're called. I'm not a betting person. I'm not morally against it, but it's not something that interests me, since you're so interested about how I feel about betting. So Kramer is in this place where he's betting on horses. He hears an insider tip that the track is going to be sloppy with mud because it's been pouring rain. And there's this horse that is not highly favored to win. He's got like all the odds are against him, but nobody knows that this horse is a mudder. And his mother was a mutter, and his father was a mutter. He loves the slop. He eats the slop. And Kramer gets this insider tip and bets on the horse and wins tons of money. And here's the thing about that meaning in your pursuit. If you can tap into meaning in your creative journey, you will become a mutter. And when those circumstances get dicey, that's when you're going to shine more than any other time. You're like the QB. That's what people call the quarterback in football. I'm a real football expert. I know what a QB is. That's the end of my expertise. But I've heard about these quarterbacks, that there are certain quarterbacks that you know that when it's snowing or muddy or raining and the conditions are crazy, that's when they shine. And if you can tap into a meaningful pursuit, a deeper purpose in your creative path, you, my friend, will be a creative mutter. And that is what this episode is all about. I'm going to encourage you to see that I'm going to encourage you with this idea. I think that creativity is inherently meaningful. I think it's deeply tied into what it means to be human. I think that you can make decisions to push your creative work to be more and more meaningful, and that you should, and that it will be a secret weapon in your utility belt. And I think at the very worst, my most cynical view of creativity is that at the very least, it's an incredibly powerful tool. And if you can master some creativity in your life, then you will have the potential in the future to unleash meaning if you so choose. So at the very least, creativity, if you can master some form of it, makes you dangerous. And I'm really excited about going to Creative Works this fall. There's some tickets still left to be sold, and the theme is called Creatives Are Dangerous. And for me, this episode explains what that means to me. So here we go. Meaning, and see the meaning of pursuing this creative path, is the most selfish one that we're going to discuss. And it's selfish, but with a selfless kind of edge to it. If you think about it through the lens of, you know, when you're on a plane and you're not really listening, but you've heard it all before, where the flight attendant is telling you all the rules and what to do in case of emergency. And one of the things that they say is that idea of if there's an accident and the oxygen masks come down, that you should put your oxygen mask on before you try to help anybody else. Because if you're out of commission and you're not getting the oxygen, you're not going to be someone out there helping anybody else. And I think the most selfish but still very meaningful fuel for your creative path is this idea that if you are a thriving individual, doing what you love, doing what you feel gives you energy and fills you up to the brim, if you do that work, if you spend time in that energy in your life, you're going to be this life-giving entity. And so although there's a part of it that's selfish because you're thinking about how do I fulfill my needs, how do I do what I love, how do I become excited about my life, yes, that is. There's an element of that that's selfish, but it's also selfless because you're eliminating another possible toxic person from the world, and you're becoming a life-giving person that's full of positive energy. And I don't mean that in like a positivity way. I just mean it in you are out there constructing beauty in others instead of acting as a leech. And I once heard my buddy Andrew Neier do a talk. It was actually, I keep dropping this, I'm sorry. It was actually last year at CreativeWorks, and he was talking about this idea that you need to be connected to other people and other things, and otherwise you become like this stagnant pool that has no connection to any other bodies of water, and that stagnant pool that can't flow out what's going on inside of it festers and becomes putrid and becomes toxic. And I think as people, when we repress our interests and our passions, that it festers inside us and we become cynical and jaded and we start being a deconstructive force in the universe. And so pursuing this passion, pursuing this thing that lights you up and gives you life is going to enable you to have the ability to give life to others, and you owe it to other people to be fulfilled yourself. And for me personally, this is one of the most important points of this talk because it's so deeply tied into my own experience. Sometimes I think about why I stayed on the path longer than some of the people around me. Why did I push so much harder to make a career out of creativity? What was the secret sauce of that? Because it wasn't talent. It was other things for sure. And one of them was this crazy drive to make it happen, whatever the cost. And I think what was behind that? Because it was, I do love creativity. That was definitely a part of it, but it wasn't the deepest part of it. And I am selfish and egotistical, and there's definitely a part of me that wants to be celebrated, just like, probably just like you. But I know that that's not the thing that has sustained me to this place. And at the end of the day, I think what it was watching my mom, who has so many of the same talents and skills, struggle so hard to be a thriving citizen that enables other people to thrive with the skills that she had. Sometimes I feel like this is like really funny, I think, but also completely true in my heart. And it's been something that I've actually deeply struggled with, is like sometimes I felt, I think early on in my career or early on in my life, I feel like it was like there was a plane wreck and we got deserted on this island, and everybody, you know, came to the island with like a few effects. Like some people had like a stove, like a little wood burning stove thing, or like, I don't know, that seems like too large to be stranded with. Some kind of cooking thing, some kind of thing to light fires. Some people had like this rain barrel. They had all these like basic things that can contribute to society in these obvious ways. And I landed with like a pack of paints and a paint palette. And that's what I felt like in school. Like so many people around me had these like clear talents and skills that were going to contribute to society in this obvious way. And therefore, they were going to be able to earn a decent living, provide for kids, and be a great husband and a great dad. And I just looked at what I had in my pack, and I knew all I really had. Like, I could do the basic, lowest level, basic contributions like clean up something. Like I could do that. I could clean up something. But as soon as it went into like more technical stuff, my ability to contribute was going to so far pale in comparison to just a normal person that I was going to really struggle to contribute and thrive as a person. And as I'd watched people in my life with similar skills fail to thrive and look at all of the terrible places that they went and they took others, I know when I was a teenager, I thought, I'm not going to be like that. I'm going to be a different kind of parent. I'm going to figure out how to take this weird batch of DNA that I've got and this weird unorthodox skill and figure out some way of providing some crazy value to the universe so that I can thrive as a person and help those that I'm in charge of or in relationship with or around to thrive too. And actually, I'm getting a little bit emotional about it because this is a legitimate thing that's been a theme of my life since I was a teenager of how the heck am I going to thrive with the stuff that's in my pack? And so for me and for you, if you're a creative person and that's what you've got in your pack too, I'm encouraging you to tap into that thing that says you want to thrive at the top level of potential that you can. You want to live a life that is so full of energy, so full of life-giving energy that you become this beacon of hope and power and resource for everyone that's around you. And if you've got some creativity in your pack, you owe it to them to fulfill your highest potential. And that's my first point. The second thing I want to speak to is just kind of a personal conviction of mine. And number two is this idea that creativity is inherently holy work. And I don't care whether you're a humanistic atheist or, you know, a hardcore spiritual religious person. I don't care how you view it, but whichever part of the spectrum you find yourself on, I think that there's this thing that so many of us are shooting for, and it's what does it mean to be fully human and to live into the best side of that. And to me, that's what I call holy work. And to me, there's nothing more holy than partaking in this universe's unfolding and construction and evolution. However you possibly cut that in your own personal views is totally irrelevant. What is a fact is that this universe is becoming something. It is in a state of becoming. And it is a glorious endeavor to be a part of that collaboration. And I think for me personally, that is what it means to be human. If you think about however you may think about God, whether you think about it like Albert Einstein, who saw it as an impersonal force, an atheist, meaning that God is not a personal being. It doesn't have a personality, but he kind of viewed it as this set of forces, these laws that were in place that were perpetuating everything in the universe, or whether you see him as a theist, as someone who sees a personality behind the order of all things, whatever you want to say, that thing is a creator. Maybe first and foremost, it's the defining characteristic. And when you step in and partake in that energy, you are never more like that pure consciousness that's pulsing through the universe. And when I have owned that and I've said, when I step into that energy, I am at my best. I am at my most human. Not to mention that your brain is one of the most powerful, complex things that exists in the known universe. And so when you are, and I think creativity is maybe the highest form of active engagement and use of that supercomputer. And I think so many of us stuck in the little factory-minded world where you're just pushing the button on the assembly line over and over and over again, we are like this supercomputer. This supercomputer like an iPhone, but the only app we're running is the calculator app. And pretty soon the thing is, calculators are going to be all over the place. And if you're an iPhone that just runs the calculator app, you're going to get scrapped because you, and I don't mean to scare you. I just mean that I'm trying to call you into higher things because you have this infinite capacity. Nothing lights me up like unlocking that in somebody else, showing somebody. You may not realize that you have a supercomputer, a biological supercomputer hidden inside of your body that's one of the most powerful forces in the known universe. And if you can start figuring out how to use that to its full potential, you're going to be able to do things that you never imagined possible. It's one of the things I love about being an entrepreneur, like, and being a creative, is the more that you realize that you have this incredible power to act this free will and make things into existence, it becomes, first of all, it's amazing and liberating. When you're like, hey, I could start this business, and if I'm strategic enough, if I'm creative enough, if I put in the hours and the time and I do the deep work, this thing is going to start having a life of its own and mold and change the environment that we live in and that other people come into contact with. Once you start tapping into that part of your true potential, it is life-changing. And in the book, The Alchemist, the author calls the myth on the other side of that the greatest lie ever told. The greatest lie ever told is that you are a robot set to a particular fate in which you have no say in, and all that's going to happen for the end of time is for you to just step into the next required step for your instructions. And the flip side of that is that you are a free being with real autonomy and free will and creative potential. And when you start digging into that, oh my gosh, and I'll tell you what, it's kind of scary. I feel like that's such a big part of my existence. I have to kind of temper it. I have to realize, like, it's scary once you realize, like, every hour I pour into this, every ounce of strategy and momentum and effort that I enact turns into real stuff. Like, that gets addicting in its own right, and you have to figure out, look, man, there's a point where you need to take a break from making stuff happen and give it a second because it's so thrilling. But I feel like you walk around and see so many people. Most people, I think, are so unaware of their own creative potential, that their own holy work that they could give themselves over to. And it just makes me so sad. It's one of the deepest reasons that I do the podcast, is just seeing that flip inside of me, that thing that happened early on where I started suspecting maybe I could go out there and make stuff happen. And then it takes so long because you got to fight so much doubt, because the doubt keeps you from making an effort. But if you can somehow go out there, that's what I love about Kate Bingaman Burt. She does this zine workshop where she goes and puts you in a room, and you come out of the room with your own little miniature zine, your own little magazine that you made from scratch in a few hours. And that's what I love about punk music. It's like, learn these two chords and then you can write a hit song. And you can create, you can breathe something into existence that was not there before you did that. And I think that's the power of that fantastic workshop that Kate does, is it unlocks this, it's this paradigm shift in your mind that says, I can make this world different through my creative potential. And it's one of the most powerful and amazing drugs that has ever come into existence. And I'm so for it. And not only that, I think, you know, there's a lot of talk about violence or nonviolence as a way of changing the world. I think there's a third way. You know, I'm crazy about this idea that, you know, this idea of dualism that says everything's black and white. It's either this or that. It's either violence or nonviolence. I think there's a third way that's not just violent and not just not violent, but creative. And I don't know if I've ever heard anybody else talk about this, but this is blowing my mind lately. And it's the reason I'm so obsessed with the idea of the pencil sword. You're going to see that at the on the cover of this podcast, there's a pencil sword. And it's not because this podcast is about illustration. It's not about illustration. It's about all forms of creativity. And it's about the holiness of creativity, because creativity to me is the ultimate opposite of violence. Nonviolence is the absence of violence. Absence of violence. Creativity is the opposing force of violence. Violence is defined by a forceful act to deconstruct, whereas creativity is defined by a forceful act to construct. If violence is there to break down this world, creativity is there to build it up and to imagine a new part of this world. And in these moments where there's so much talk of violence and so much actual violence, I'm reminded of this idea that love, and if you don't like that gushy word, relationship is the cornerstone of every created thing in this universe. You know, and I've talked about this on the relationships episode recently, this idea that everything that's in existence is just made up of smaller things in relationship to each other. And those things are made up of smaller things in relationship to each other, giving over part of themselves to something else to become something greater, right? I'm talking about atoms. I'm talking about subatomic particles making atoms, making molecules, making you and me, right? And everything else in existence. And I'm going way off, but I'm so passionate about this idea and this idea of, like, when you're putting these molecules together and you're making this creative act, when you're putting pencil molecules to paper molecules and you're enacting new things into existence, that is the most holy, nonviolent thing that you could do. And I recently made a piece of work about this and was talking about how when you're splitting, taking away, cleaving things from existence in violence, you're doing the opposite of creativity, and you're working against the natural order of all things, which was to relate to each other and breathe new things and bigger things into the universe. And I said that even in this post recently, I said that even the nuclear bomb and nuclear reactions are the ultimate cleaving of ultimate reality, taking an atom and splitting it and breaking that relationship. And the man, I believe it's the man who created the atom bomb, said that that trinity of the proton, neutron, and electron is like the trinity of the divine. And when you split it, you are killing the nature of what it means to be human. You're killing the divine when you make that split. And I think we can all agree that the kind of devastation and destruction that that can bring is the opposite of creative energy. It's the opposite of holy work. It's the opposite of humanity. And I definitely don't mean for this to be political. I just mean it to inspire your humanity and your potential to do the opposite of that with creativity. Hey, if you're a longtime listener to this podcast, you know I'm a super fan of AstroPad. It turns your iPad into a graphics tablet for your Mac, and I use it to make my illustration work, and I love it. But AstroPad has a massive announcement. They're doing a Kickstarter. It just launched today, and I've been using a like the preliminary version of this thing, and I'm super excited about it. So here's the spiel. AstroPad has a new hardware product available on Kickstarter called Luna Display. Luna Display adds second display capabilities to AstroPad, but it also is a great tool for using your iPad as an extended desktop. It literally turns your iPad into a touch Mac. Dude, it's super awesome. Go check it out at lunadisplay.com. You can back the Kickstarter and get in early on this thing, and you basically turn your iPad into a fully functioning touch display for your Mac so that you can have two screens going at the same time in HD, and it's beautiful. Go check it out at lunadisplay.com. Big old fashioned shout out to the new fandangled way to make beautiful websites. It's called Squarespace. I've been using it for a few years. They make your website look so gorgeous without any need for knowledge of code. I'm a super fan of Squarespace. I wanted to get them as a sponsor for a long time because it's a product that I'm so passionate about. I've converted many people over to Squarespace websites, and now they're a part of the Creative Pep Talk crew. Go get 10% off your beautiful Squarespace website at squarespace.com. Use promo code Pep Talk. Thanks, Squarespace. And the third and last point that I want to make about embracing the meaningful side to this path is I'm going to steal it straight up from the tagline of Creative Works conference, and it's that creatives are dangerous and creativity is dangerous. And that at the very least, even if you don't buy into the fact that creativity has some innate holiness, at least you're going to buy into this, that it is undoubtedly a powerful tool that is in itself neutral, but gives the person who wields it tons of power for good or for bad. But at the very least, you can agree it is a powerful tool that you can spend time and a lifetime investing in so that you can master it and you yourself can be a powerful contributor to this universe. And often I feel like when people aren't willing to jump into the deep waters of creativity, to jump into mastering a craft, whatever that might be, screenwriting, comedy, illustration, music, whatever it is, when they're keeping their own doubts about the worthiness or whether creativity is really worthwhile giving yourself to, whether there's too many things going on in the world to really care about getting good at a craft, I always say, you're acting like learning to swim is all about goofing off at a hotel pool. Like, I'm not going to spend all the time and energy to learn how to swim because it's meaningless to, you know, go down to the Holiday Inn pool on the random occasion that you're at a hotel and have some fun and be goofy or whatever, right? Like, that's not why you learn to swim. That's not why you spend your 10,000 hours to be a powerful, potent, dangerous creative so that you can glorify yourself at best and at worst have a little bit of fun that is completely meaningless, which even that you could argue is meaningful. But that's not why you learn creativity. You give yourself over to mastering one of these creative skills so that you are potent, because stories change the narrative of society. It is a fact, undoubtedly, that stories have more power to persuade and to impact the world more than facts. And so your ability to tell better stories directly changes whether you are going to have influence for good in this universe. And the people that tell the most compelling, moving stories are the ones that impact how culture evolves. Not to mention, what about laughter? What if even the, you know, something that could arguably be called the most meaningless of creative endeavors is just making someone laugh, giving somebody a moment of laughter. Do you know how much science is behind the power of laughter in our lives and what it does for somebody, especially somebody who's in a dark place? I think about even just the power of podcasting, right? Like in my worst times, I've told this story a few times on the podcast, in my worst times, several months ago, we did the Creative Pep Rally. The day of the Pep Rally was one of the best days of my life. The days before and after, I have never been more depleted. In order to put that event on, required so many things outside of my skill set. And not that many things, but just things that are so far outside of my skill set that I was so depleted of that creative energy. I was so depleted of that life force. I have never been more burnt out. I remember actively thinking, I don't remember why I went on this path at all. I can't remember liking making things. I can't remember why I cared about the podcast or art or any of this crap. And I just want to pack it in. I'm done. I'm sick of this. There's got to be an easier way to make a living. And the thing that turned it around for me was a random episode of You've Got It Weird with Pete Holmes, where he's just a comedian talking to other comedians. And yeah, they sometimes talk about deep stuff. It wasn't even the deep stuff. What turned it around was just a random interview where he started diving into the craft of making a TV show. And I love just listening to that deep work, that deep level of craft, those deep guidelines that guided him and then the variables and the randomness and the creativity that was putting through that matrix and trying to find your way through this like complex code of math and logic and magic that creativity is. And that episode made me bawl my eyes out on the bike path at 5 a.m. because I remembered what I loved. And so this thing, he probably doesn't even know that he pulled me out of what was a kind of alarming level of apathy about my life at that moment. And that, just that telling of the story and that ability to, you know, the mastering of telling stories on a podcast and interviewing comedians was deeply meaningful to me. And when you master some creative art, no matter what it is, you can't imagine how handy that's going to come in the future for other people who are ingesting your creativity. You don't learn to swim because you want to goof off one day a year at a Holiday Inn. You learn to swim because you might go to the Olympics in the most selfish way, and you inspire millions of people, and you also get gold medals. That's selfish, great. But you also might need that superpower to save yourself from drowning, or even worse, pull someone else out. Save your kid. Save the people around you from drowning. And I know that some people are averse to this kind of epic talk, this kind of speak, but do you know how many movies have changed the course of history, like culturally, or at least added a grain to the camel's back that broke down narratives of oppression? Culture doesn't change overnight. And the narratives we tell ourselves, it requires so much good storytelling, so much creativity. And that's just one example. And so you don't learn to swim to have a good time one day a year. You learn to swim in the deep waters of creativity because you want to maximize your potential and your ability to be dangerous so that when the time is right, it's easy to stop before you became powerful, before you went on the journey, before you refined these things, before you went through the 80s montage and worked out really hard and became dangerous. It's easy before you go on that path to sit back in your chair and be like, creativity's meaningless anyways. That's easy. Great. You've stopped yourself, self-sabotage before you even got on the path. But what about just getting on the path because you think, guess what? this is going to come in handy. And when I have some statement to make, when I have some cause to champion, I'm going to use the power of my dangerous creativity to bring it up a notch and to contribute in meaningful ways to society, even if it's just a laugh and a reprieve on someone's bad day, or if it's to spread a message in a powerful way that plain speak and facts cannot accomplish. Do you know how many protest signs, I don't know the facts because I didn't look it up and I forgot. I didn't know I was going to say this. Do you know how, the science of, even online, how much more powerful and gorgeous or provocative images than a little body of text? It is like thousands and thousands. I can't remember the number, but it is staggering how much more powerful a provocative image is than a simple bit of plain speak. And you don't know when you're going to need that skill of swimming in the deep waters, but you better set off on the journey now. So by the time you're in front of the dragon, you've been on the journey and you've been well prepared to slay it. So, you don't know how many people I've talked to who, you know, are stuck at a random corporate job or doing some thing that feels menial and whatever, and they're stuck in this bad place in their life, and they're not doing what they love. They're not passionate and enthusiastic about their existence. And this creativity that they are enthusiastic about, they self-sabotage before they get on the path, because they think that creativity is ultimately selfish, egotistical, self-glorifying, at worst, just completely, or at the very least, completely meaningless. And, you know, they don't want to create prints, you know, posters or whatever, and contribute to global warming or all that kind of jazz. And I always just stop and say, like, what kind of powerful, meaningful work are you doing right now at that dead-end job? Like, how much paperwork and paper are you contributing to the, you know, the waste of our natural resources in that job? And then beyond that, that entity that you work for, how much altruistic, powerful, meaningful work is it contributing to society? Because I'm guessing a lot of people that are stuck in those places are stuck in organizations that are doing a lot more harm than good. And yet, you don't get on the path because you're afraid that the creativity that you're going to contribute is just too meaningless. And so I want to encourage you guys real quick, in the same way that I'm going to encourage myself. Because sometimes, you know, when I'm juggling a lot of things and I've had a hard week, this week has been incredibly hard. I've just been hammering it. I hammered it like crazy to go on vacation for a week the week before, and then I hammered it after. This week has just been, you know, just crazy. And, you know, I'm pouring out as much of me as I can for my family and for my work. And it's so easy to just think, what is the point? And I get it. I totally get it. But this is my encouragement to you. And it's something that Meg Lewis talked about in the last episode when she's talking about finding her purpose to make the world a happier place. And she just talked about how it doesn't have to be a massive thing. And that's my encouragement to you. Humble yourself before your creative purpose. That humility that says, oh, this little plot of land that I'm working on that's mine, that my ability to contribute creatively to the universe is such a small deal that I'm not even going to give it any time and energy. That feels like humility. It feels like you're being self-deprecating and saying, oh, my little contribution isn't worth even tilling or tending to. When actually that humility is masking pride that says this contribution that you're going to make isn't big enough for you to take it seriously. And I keep thinking about how Pete Holmes, you know, he might think sometimes this podcast is so dumb. Why do I even contribute? Why do I even give it time? That pulled me out of an abyss, and it made me bawl my eyes out because the color came back to life when I heard him speaking passionately about the challenges he was facing creatively. And when I hear the local ice cream shop is called Jenny's and they claim to make the best ice cream in the world, and it's true, it is the best ice cream I've ever tasted. I guarantee you, somewhere early on the path, Jenny was asking herself, is great ice cream the best ice cream in the world? Does that really even matter? Is that even significant enough to give my life to? Like, why does that even matter? But from the outside, we realize that that's masking pride that says you deserve to contribute something even more massive than the best ice cream of all time. No, humble yourself before that little plot of land and think about it this way. If we would all humble ourselves before our unique purposes, can you imagine what kind of meaningful ecosystem the universe would be? How our humanity would come together with all of our individual tiny chosen one journeys, these purposes to just be the best illustrator that you could possibly be in your field, to be the best, most inspiring, powerful, contributing radio DJ. Can you imagine if everybody saw their plot of land with that kind of holy work attitude? And you imagine if we all did that, how epic the contribution would be. And I think it's because we deny our plot of land and we deny the journey that we go on because it's so insignificant that so many purposes and so much meaning is lost. And we're all in the wrong plots of land, getting in fights with other people over trying to do their journey and do their meaning and looking over into the neighbor's yard. I wanted desperately to take this analogy off the rails and get weird with it and talk about all looking over the fence at your neighbor's new trampoline while you're trampoline. I'm going super random. I really literally mean nothing by all of that. But if you'll just humble yourself from your little contribution, I think over a lifetime, that mastery and contribution will add up to be something incredible, and you'll be glad that you sought it out. And just a little bit of encouragement, because sometimes I obviously am prone to get very epic, and sometimes that can make everybody feel, including myself, extremely overwhelmed with the path ahead and the task at hand. And I just want to give you this thing that I think is a deep universal truth. And that you have essentially on this creative path, you only have one job. And if you do this job to the best of your ability, I believe that things will conspire to help you get there. And this is it. Your job is to seek it. If you seek the meaning, you will find it. If you seek, as long as you're seeking, it will work. And I get a lot of people asking me, how do I know that I'm on the right path? And there's only one clarifying point to be made, and it's this: are you seeking it? If you are seeking it, you are doing the work. If you're listening to this podcast, trying to find little bits, just any little bit of information that's going to help you find what it is you're seeking next, you're on the path. The only thing I think you have to be worried about is if you're not actively seeking. And you wouldn't be stuck around for the end of this monologue if you weren't. And so congratulations, you're on the path. Kudos to you. Close it down. Let's close it up. Closing up shop. This is, that's the end of the episode is what I'm trying to say. I almost went into an improv pretend thing where I was going to pretend like I was quitting Creative Pep Talk just to be weird. That's not true. Man, I hope I get to do Creative Pep Talk podcast for the rest of my life. It gives me so much energy. I love it. And I love you guys. guys. Thank you guys for listening. Seriously. I love this. It's so fun to do this. So thank you for letting me do this. Thanks for listening. I hope this episode really got into your veins, because I clearly am deeply passionate about this topic. I hope it pumped you up, pepped you up, pepped your step all the way to the moon and back. And even further than that. Anyway, thanks to Yoni Wolf and the band Y for our theme music. Can I just tell you something real quick? I've said this before, but you might not know this. I got into illustration and design to do band posters for bands that I love. The band Y was my favorite band in college. When I found them, it blew my freaking mind. I listened to their available albums over and over and over. I knew every lyric. Me and my friends, my crew, we all had kind of come from hip-hop roots and taste in our teenage years, and then in college we're like into indie music. This was the perfect marriage of those things, and it blew us away. And so I just want to say thanks to Yoni. It's been amazing to make posters with him for his band that, you know, I feel like my artwork was meant to make posters for their band. And it's just been literally a dream come true. And having them have my theme, having theme music from them for my podcast is just icing on the freaking cake. And I thank God every week. I'm like, yeah, man, I'm not kidding. I am so grateful for this situation. It gives me, it warms my heart when I hear that intro. So thank you, Yoni. I couldn't be more grateful if I tried. And also, I know I feel like all the other thank yous are going to pale in comparison to that, but I am genuinely thankful to Nate Utesh. He makes this podcast sound so super fresh, almost like it's coming out of the future from his band Metavari. You can hear their stuff at soundcloud.com/Metavari. Really good, like, instrumental, designy, illustration-y work music. If you want to get in deeply into the groove, go check that out. Nate Utesh, Metavari, good stuff. Thanks to Alex Sugg for editing the podcast. He does a phenomenal job. Thank you so much for doing that. Thanks to all of you guys for listening every week and just being the best people of all time. Thanks, guys. I super, super appreciate it. You know, I see a large part of my purpose, and definitely the central purpose of the podcast, is just to basically inject you with pep at the end of, or at the beginning of your week, to where it fuels you to be more productive that week towards your path. Towards where you're trying to go, your creative destiny. That's why I do it, because I think about how, for me, if I can just find a few nuggets of perspective or paradigm shift or hope in my week, then I am so much more productive that week. And so every week I try to bring you that. And so until next week, stay pepped up.